Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, March 5th. Happy Saturday. I'm reading from the New International Version. I wish I could sit down with you wherever you are, if you're on a walk, that we could be side by side, but it gives me a lot of joy knowing that even though we are not in the same room, you and I are sharing in something very significant today as we read God's Word together. In Genesis chapter 47, we are picking up in the story of Joseph. I feel like we've been in this story for a while, and today the famine just continues to get worse in the scripture that we are reading. And all the people have nothing left to give in return for food, and so Pharaoh buys up all the land in Egypt. Genesis chapter 47, beginning in verse 20. So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priest because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and your children." "You have saved our lives," they said. "May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt, still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priest that did not become Pharaoh's. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." "I will do as you say," he said. "Swear to me," he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Moving on to the Psalms, today we're in Psalm 77, and we'll read the first half of the psalm. It says this, "For the director of music, for Jeduthun, of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, 'Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?' Then I thought, 'To this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand.'" Here, the psalmist recognizes that he has a choice. He can either stew over the fact that he doesn't think God is working according to his timing and his questions of "Where are you, God?" Or he can fix his thoughts on something else in verse 10. "To this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand." And so in the rest of the psalm that we read tomorrow, we're going to find out the different ways that the psalmist remembers God has worked in his life. And this is instructive for us as well. Instead of stewing, perhaps we should remember God's faithfulness. Let's move over to the book of John now. Today we're in John chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. This is a beautiful passage about Jesus being anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It is worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together today. I just want to end our time together with some prayer, remembering the scene from the anointing in Bethany that Jesus is worthy of extravagant worship. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, one of us, fully human and yet only like you, fully God, to be among us, to sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for the gift that Mary gave, an extravagant gift to prepare him for burial. Lord, help us to be a people who want to give cheerfully and not out of compulsion or out of reluctance. Lord, that you would help us to be a people who give because we have seen the ways that you have brought life in death. Thank you for the story of Lazarus. It's amazing, Lord, to think that you brought Lazarus back from the dead. And the Jews saw it too. They knew he was dead, 4 days dead, and you resurrected him. Thank you for that reminder from Scripture that you bring life. And so we pray for the situations around us that seem like darkness and death. And we ask, Lord, that you would be working in them, that you would do miraculous things even today, that you would give us wisdom on how to come alongside others who are struggling, that you would give us clarity of thought when it comes to our resources, and that you would help us to be a people on fire for you so that we're an attractive presence to the world around us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.